It's great to see everyone. Again, I want to say thank you for arriving early. I think tonight's class is really going to encourage all of us. It's just good to be back. It's great. I know we had a long holiday weekend. I hope you had a relaxing time. My wife and I did, but it's great to be back together in church this morning, this evening rather. Tonight, I want to talk to us about coming into God's presence. I've titled tonight's class, Here I Am to Worship. I taught a version of this class to the Bible Talk leaders a couple of weeks ago, and several people suggested that I needed to teach this to the church. And so that's why I'm doing this tonight. Obviously, we gather on Sundays and on Wednesday nights to worship God. And this is the primary reason why we gather on these 2 days, is to worship God. And yes, we get a chance to fellowship. We get a chance on Sundays to, right now we have communion in our homes. And obviously we get a chance to give our offering. Again, these days we do that online. But every Sunday, especially when we come together, we gather together to worship God as a body of Christ. And like many of us, I grew up believing in God. I grew up going to church. Maybe some of us didn't. And my background, believe it or not, was I was Anglican when I was growing up as a young kid. And then I went to a Catholic high school. I was Catholic for many years. And that's when I became, quote unquote, Catholic. And that's where Richard comes from. I gave myself that name when I was, quote unquote, sprinkled with water as a Catholic. Later on in college, I prayed Jesus into my heart. And I thought, I was saved. But I grew up believing in God. And as a matter of fact, yesterday, I celebrated 35 years of being a Christian. I spent the entire day just thanking God for this journey, just very humbled by just being a Christian all these years. And I have no back doors. My mindset is I would rather die than turn my back on God. And so I pray very often that, God, if you know I'm going to turn my back on you, please take my life before that happens. I'm not afraid to pray that prayer because I want to see the face of God. I want to spend eternity with him. That's what keeps me going every single day. And so I'm very thankful. And then last night, my wife and I, and we had a chance to go watch the Brooklyn Nets play. That was my first time in that arena. It was loud. It was awesome. When we came out, I said to my wife, I pray that the Nets make it to the finals, because I think I'm going to do this again. I've never been to an NBA finals game. At least I want to see, at least I've done it once. I just came for my first playoffs game. So it was a great day yesterday, celebrating 35 years on this earth. I've mentioned this before, and I'll say it again tonight as we begin. I think about heaven every single day. I'm really looking forward to meeting Yahweh and to meeting this incredible God who spoke all this stuff into existence. And I hope you are too, because that is our ultimate destination, okay? And we have several loved ones that have crossed over and are now in paradise. And in a manner of speaking, yes, I know envy is sin, but I do envy those guys that have crossed on and gone on into paradise. I call it good envy, because we are all looking forward to going where they are now. And when we get there, when our time comes, they're going to be there to welcome us into eternal dwellings. And so today I want to talk to us about coming before the presence of God, okay? It's not by accident that we played the song that we started with tonight, and I'm sure you heard it on Sunday morning when we started church. It says, "Light of the world, you step down into darkness. You open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you." And then the chorus goes, "So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me." You see, the purpose of this lesson, I said this to the leaders a couple of weeks ago, is not to make us feel guilty. Every time I open up my Bible and I'm speaking to us, whether it's face to face, and you know, the last several months has been via Zoom, the object is not to make anybody feel guilty, because first of all, I don't gain anything by that, nothing whatsoever. There are times when we read stuff in the scriptures on our own, and we would hear in the sermons, where it really convicts us. And that's what the Bible is designed to do. And so I hope and pray that through this lesson, we're going to grow and learn some lessons based on some of the things we're going to hear tonight. But I've always believed, and I do very strongly, that as a church and as a fellowship, not just in New York, not just in Texas, I'm talking worldwide, that one area we need to grow as a church is in our worship. And I'm talking all over the world, okay? And so again, please don't feel guilty by, you know, tonight's lesson. If anything, take good notes, take pictures, and just decide to make some changes, you know, based on the things that we're going to be talking about tonight in your own personal life, in your own personal worship of the God that created you and loves you and cares about you deeply. Okay, and so I'm hoping, I'm praying that we'll really grow, and from the lesson tonight. Is this something I'm growing in? I don't want to come across like, okay, I got this all figured out. That's not the case at all. I'm still learning to be more reverent and to really get in there and really worship God in spirit and in truth. The word worship is the Greek word proskuneo. Okay? You say, what does that mean? It means you prostrate yourself in homage and you show reverence. It shows we adore God. Okay, we're revering God. We worship is a posture that we come before the creator of the universe with. And remember, we're talking about the creator of the universe. We're not talking about the mayor of New York City. We're not talking about the governor of New York. We're not talking about the president of this country. We're talking about the Most High, the King of all kings, okay? That is who we worship. And that's what we do every time we come to church on Wednesday night or on a Sunday morning, okay? The word worship, worshiping, and other derivatives of that word appears 256 times, 256 times in the NIV. Okay, Abraham was the first person to use the word worship in Genesis 22, verse 5. When God had told him to go sacrifice his son Isaac as a burnt offering, and they're on the way, you know the passage. Isaac speaks up, says, "Hey, Dad, where's the lamb? I see the wood for the fire. He was carrying they were carrying some oil for the fire. It's like, where's the lamb?" And you know, Abraham said to Isaac, God himself will provide the lamb. And then it tells us later in that passage, when they got to a particular place, Abraham told his servants, we will go and worship, and then we will come back to you. Okay? So he's the first one that ever uttered those words. And so tonight I want to look at three things very quickly. The focus of why we gather as a church. And again, I want you to look at this more than just, we're talking past Brooklyn. We're talking the whole of New York City. We're talking the whole of, you know, Gastron and all over the world, okay? The first thing I want to talk about very quickly is whom we come to worship. Number two, why we come to worship. And three, how we are to worship, okay? But I'm going to spend most of my time on number one, and then I'll have some final thoughts for us about number three, okay? So let's talk about whom we come to worship. Whom we come to worship. In Revelation chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had heard first speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald and encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbles, and peals of thunder. In the front of the throne, seven lamps were burning. They are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in the back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and were covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive power, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Brothers and sisters, when we gather like this, when we gather on Sundays, we're coming before the throne of God. And in Revelation, we're given a little glimpse of what the throne room looks like. We come before the Ancient of Days. We're coming before the King of all kings. We're talking about the highest authority. We come before the I Am that I Am. We're not going on vacation. We're not going to some barbecue. We're not going shopping. We're not going to the mall. We are coming before the King of the universe. And in Revelation 4, you can see the reverence. I mean, since they are bowing down, they're taking off the golden crowns and putting, and they are bowing down. Day after day, the creatures in heaven are bowing down and worshiping God. You know, sometimes people ask, "Well, heaven, what are we going to be doing in heaven?" I know one thing we're going to be doing is worshiping God. Okay? Now, is that what all we're going to be doing for all eternity? I don't think so. But we're going to be there worshiping Yahweh. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. You can just imagine what that must sound like. Okay? It says, "They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.'" The four living creatures said amen. And all the elders, watch this, fell down and worshiped. Notice, Jesus is being worshipped. Why? Because he's deity, he's God. Okay? We worship God. He's deity, he's God. This is another big difference that makes Jesus different from any other religious prophet. Yes, Jesus came onto this earth at some point. He was human at some point and walked the earth. But he's king, he's deity, he's God. That's why they killed him, as a matter of fact, because he claimed to be God. Again, this is very different from what any other religion teaches. And so, you know, we can use passages like this to back up what we stand for and what we believe in, okay? Brothers and sisters, I am convinced that worship is the only thing we get to do forever. This is why we come together collectively on Sundays. This is why we take our time in the middle of our week to come to church and worship God. Okay? Every glimpse we have of heaven is created beings worshiping God. And like I said earlier, worship, I believe, is one of the only things we get to do forever. And so, you know, right now, if you say, well, I'm tired of worshiping or I'm bored, well, all I'm going to say to you is, I don't think you're ready to go to heaven yet. I don't think you're ready. Because what do you think we're going to be doing up there? Yes, I believe we're going to be exploring everything that God has created, where we're going to be reunited with loved ones. But part of it is we're going to be worshiping God. Okay? Remember the first two commandments. I don't believe they're by accident. The first one says, you shall have no other gods besides me. And then the second commandment in the Old Testament, where God tells us not to make any kind of image. Because they, you know, he's not a created being. First of all, nobody has seen him. And so whatever it is that you carve out or whatever painting you have, it's not even going to do it justice. Because how do you describe something that never existed? I mean, look at the passage I just looked at. Talking about, you know, he had the face of a lion, the face of a man. I mean, it's like, how do you depict that? God is so awesome. And the exciting thing is one day we're going to come before his presence. Okay? In Romans chapter 1, you can write this down. It says they worshiped and served created things rather than the creator. Every time we start worshiping created things, we get in trouble. Whether it's humans, whether it's a career, or whatever it is, you're going to get in trouble. I will get in trouble if I try that. In Luke 2:35, there was a man named Simeon. He said, the passage tells us that he held baby Jesus in his hands. And then there's also an older widow in there called Anna in Luke 2:37. The Bible tells us that she never left the temple but worshiped God day and night. I don't think it was by accident that these two people were there. They saw the infant Jesus. Okay? And so the question I'm asking us tonight is, do you enjoy worshiping God? You say, well, you, Richard, I wasn't born into this. Then I encourage you to get into your Bible. Like I said, there are 256 passages that talk about worship. Look them up. We all need to grow in this. In Acts chapter 16, we're introduced to Lydia. In Acts chapter 16, verse 13, she was described as a worshiper of God. She wasn't described as a churchgoer. Okay? There's a big difference. Remember when Moses went to Pharaoh back in Egypt? What was his message? He says, let my people go so that they may worship me. It's all over Exodus. That was the reason why God said, go get them out so that they can worship me. And obviously, Pharaoh never listened, and then God humbled him and eventually let them go. Okay? Later on, God sent Israel into captivity because they worshiped other gods. You see, you and I were created to worship the Almighty. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about the Adonai, the Lord of all. We're talking about the El Shaddai, the God of strength. We're talking about the Elohim, the strong one, above all other gods. We're talking about the El Elyon, the God most high, the El Roy, the God who sees me, the God who sees you. We're talking about Yahweh, Jehovah, the God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. Okay? And so the question is, where is the reverence and awe that is due this God? The kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, is not a democracy. It never was. It's a theocracy. We have a king. Yes, the Bible commands us to submit to the governing authorities in this world. But you know what? The Bible and the Constitution are not on the same level. Heaven forbid. God created all this. This is who we come to worship. When you come before the king, you bow. When the king comes into a room, people stand up and stop. You courtesy. You're quiet. You show respect. You know, if I got a phone call tonight saying, you know what, President Biden wants to see you in the White House, in the Oval Office, tomorrow at 10 a.m. Guess what? The moment this service is over, I'm going to get my clothes. My wife and I are going to get in the car. We're going to drive to Washington, D.C. We'll drive for several hours. We'll spend the night over there. You better believe by 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be in front of those gates. Say, hey, check the logs. I'm in there. The president is expecting me. I'm going to get there early. When he walks into the room, I'm going to stand up. And that's just a human being. Yes, he's president. And I need to respect the office of the presidency. But we're talking about God here, where you and I come before him every day. And again, I want to commend us. I'm really thankful that, you know, a lot of us, we logged in early tonight. You know, we had given notice that, hey, we're going to start the service on time because we're coming to worship God. And if anything, it's part of it is let your yes be your yes. We tell people we're going to start church at 7:30. Let's start at 7:30. If when we come back together and we're meant to start at 10:30, then let's start at 10:30. We're not going to start at 10:31 or 10:32. It's about let our yes be yes. Are we people of our word or not? Because we're there to worship this awesome creator. Again, it's very important that, you know, yes, we get to church early and we're having fellowship, but you better believe I'm paying attention to that clock in terms of, you know, brother, sister, whatever it is that we're discussing right now, we can talk about it after church, okay? But I need to get ready to worship God because that's why I came. And so, you know, when the time comes for us to start worshiping, the talking needs to, it needs to cease. We're all in our seats, we're ready, and we're worshiping the creator of the universe because that's why we gather. And I'm not saying we shouldn't address and help each other out, but that can happen before and after. Okay, while we're singing, while we're worshiping this creator, we shouldn't be talking. We shouldn't. If anything, you say, oh, I don't know the words. Well, we try and put the words on the screen. And I, for one, don't like when we do songs that people don't know. I try to make sure that whatever song we're going to do on Sunday, we all know it and we can practice it so that we can all worship together. It's not a worship is not a spectator sport. Worship is something we all engage in. I mean, last night at Barclays Bank, it was raucous. They gave us towels. We were waving it. They were telling us to make noise. I was making noise. I mean, it was awesome. We even saw Daisy and Steven and Andrew on the big screen. They were sitting in a different section. But at some point, they said, hey, look at Daisy, look at Daisy. I said, where? But it was gone at that time. But it was great. The atmosphere was tremendous. We were there to cheer our team. And so, as we continue to talk about this, brothers and sisters, I really believe that we need to stop insulting the Most High by coming to church late or by talking during the singing or by talking during the service. Let's just focus our minds on why we have gathered. And during that time, let's just worship God. That once we're dismissed, you can make all the noise you want in terms of just, you know, ruckus or whatever, or excited. That's okay. But when we're worshiping God, let's focus ourselves on worshiping God, okay? And so, you know, many have been asking, so when are we coming back? You heard the announcement last Sunday from Larry, one of our awesome elders, saying that, you know, we're working on it, and we're looking forward to being all together soon, but we don't have a date yet, okay? But let me tell you something that happened last week. I noticed when, you know, we're getting ready to start church, at 11 a.m., exactly at 11 a.m., there were 298 people logged in via YouTube that I could see. You can see the numbers. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. Yes, I know a lot of families gather on one spot. We're a church of almost 3,000 members. Even if you divided that by two, there should have been 1,500 people easily logged in, ready to worship God. Only 298. And I took notice of it. And I also noticed something. After Ross preached, and he did a phenomenal message, by the way. After Ross finished preaching and we started going, we went into communion. I started seeing people logging off. And I had to sit here and ask myself, where are people going? The service has not ended yet. And you know, so, oh, I want to take communion. I don't think so. Because you can go take communion and come back. You don't have to log off. Because service is not over at that point. We're still, you know, watching people that have become Christians. And there's still usually a song at the end. Sometimes, you know, there's an announcement made at the end. But people were logging off. I noticed it. I could see the numbers. Now, and numbers don't lie. Brothers and sisters, we have 168 hours in a week. That's what everybody gets. And I'm not sure that asking us to dedicate 4 hours of worship to this incredible God who's been so good to us in corporate worship is asking too much. 4 hours out of 168. Okay? I always say this, show me a man's schedule and show me his checkbook and I will tell you where his heart is. This is a question of where, this is, you know, where our hearts are. And some of us tonight, we're parents and we have kids. Our kids are watching us, brothers and sisters. They're watching how we worship God. They notice if we're excited about this God that we claim to follow. And if they don't see us worshiping God, if they don't see us excited about this God, if they don't see you reading your Bible, if they don't see you singing spiritual songs in the house, how are they meant to worship? How are they meant to fall in love with this God? You know, people ask Sarah and myself all the time, you know, what was the secret of helping our daughters become Christians? And I would always tell anybody that asked us that question, we were the same people at home that they saw at church. We're the same people. Because, you know, there'll be times in the house, man, you know, I'm playing my hymns or my Christian music, and I have the volume up, and my daughters can hear it. You know, sometimes they're studying, and I say, Dad, can you turn it down a little bit? Like, hey, I'm worshiping God. And yes, I will turn it down, but I mean, I wasn't trying to hide my love for this God and my worship of him. There was one day, we were in Texas at the time, and I even, you know, they're all gone to sleep and I put my headphones on. It was one of those nights, you know, I think around 10 p.m. I just started to worship. And before I know it, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Sarah had to text me and say, Rich, I can hear you. And despite the headphones, because I was all over the place. But you see, the question is, if our kids don't see us worshiping God and excited about this God that we claim we love and we're following, how are they meant to fall in love with him? You need to show it. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? I got to keep this thing going. Let's talk about why we worship. Why we come to worship. In Psalm 66, verse 1, it says, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from sleeping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. Brothers and sisters, when we come to worship, we come to give thanks. We come to exalt God. We come to praise God for all the wonderful things he's done for us. You say, well, you know, on this particular day, I'm not feeling like worshiping. Well, it's okay for you to be quiet and let other people encourage you. But that's the primary reason why we gather. We gather to praise his name because he's a wonderful God. That was all I did yesterday. You know, because, I mean, if it wasn't for God saving me, if it wasn't for God watching over my entire life, and bringing me to this country and allowing me to become a Christian, I wouldn't have the family I now have. I wouldn't have Sarah. I wouldn't have my girls. I wouldn't know any of you guys. And so I'm very humbled. I'm very thankful to be a Christian. And when I gather, when we gather, that's who I'm worshiping. I'm thanking him for all this wonderful stuff he's done for me and continues to do for me. That's what we do. He's a good God. That is why we worship him. We gather to praise and worship because he's a good God. And it's not just on Sundays. It's all week long. So that when we all get to be together, whether it's on Wednesday nights, it's on Sunday morning, man, it's magnified. Yes, I can sing on my own in my apartment or in my house, and you can do the same thing. But there's something about corporate singing and corporate worship. Okay, we count our blessings and we're able to shout hallelujah. Our services are not meant to be funeral. It's not a funeral. It's a time to praise God. Okay, heaven is going to be a loud place, brothers and sisters. I got news for you. It's going to be loud. And we need to get used to it now. When you are talking about God, we're worshiping. That's what it is. In Psalm 147, verse 1, it says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. God desires and demands our best. He really does. I know we're all muted. And I know I can't make a lot of noise. You know, there's an apartment right over there. But I want us at this time in our apartments, in our homes, I want us to give the Almighty a round of applause. He's a good God. He's been a good God to us. He's done so much for us. He's brought us through so much. In the last 12 months, in the last 5 years, and God will continue to be good to us with the rest of the years that we have on this earth. Very, very important that we come with a mindset of praise and adoration and just extolling God. You say, I don't know how to sing. It's okay. You can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I don't know how to sing either. I wish I could sing like some of these guys that our worship team and other brothers and sisters. I mean, these guys are very talented. I mean, if I could sing like some of these guys, I'm going to let somebody else do the preaching because I'm going to join them. I become one of those, you know, there's some preachers, you know, they're preaching and they're singing at the same time. You know, I become one of those. But it doesn't bother me that I, quote unquote, I can't sing. I lift up my voice and I praise my God and I'm able to shout hallelujah. Let's talk about how we are to worship. Now, there are no express written commands in the New Testament on how to conduct worship. It's not there, okay? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 was written to give order and direction to the church in Corinth because, you know, they were all doing things, you know, in horrible ways. And Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 12, said, okay, here's how you do this, all right? And you're not going to find any verses in the New Testament about what time to start church or how long it should be or what the order of service is. It's not there. And so that part, believe it or not, we make up as a church. It is something we do as a church, all right? And sometimes we would say, oh yeah, you know, our church is lost like the first century church. Not quite, because the way we do church today in the 21st century is very different from what they were doing back in the first century, all right? If anything, they met in homes. They didn't have any personal Bibles. Okay? Again, most of the church in the first century was illiterate. They had no pens. They had no recording devices. There were no church buildings. They met in each other's homes for church. And that's where the concept of house church comes from. Okay? It's very biblical, by the way. Okay? And so you want to come to church and, you know, during the singing, you want to raise your hand? That's your business. You shouldn't be conscious about, okay, who's raising their hand? Who's joining me in this? Just worship your God. If you feel comfortable, then do it. If you don't want to, it's okay. We are learning this stuff, all right? And so if you want to be silent and just worship your God silently, that's okay too. The important thing is that we respect other people and let them worship God. That's what we're talking about, okay? When the service is going on, whether it's the singing or the worship, or the singing, the communion or sermon, and people are talking, it's very distracting. And I pray we stop doing it. That while the service is going on, let's not be talking to each other. You say, well, you know, this person has this critical issue, and so I'm going to go somewhere and go talk to them outside. Don't do that. You came to worship God. Now, when we're done worshiping God, you can go help that brother. You can go help that sister. But it's not the time that we're meant to be worshiping Yahweh that you're trying to help somebody solve their problem. Besides, God is the one who's going to solve all this stuff. It's not you. It's not me. Okay? Where, again, I don't know when we're all going to be back together physically, but I'm hoping that, you know what, by the time that time comes, you know, we're going to be ready. We would have signed off our kids in Kids Kingdom. We're going to be in the sanctuary, ready to worship God, you know, and so that when the clock hits, man, we are ready to go. And we're worshiping God together. And so let's get ourselves ready to truly worship God. In Revelation chapter 9, I got to wrap this stuff up. Excuse me, Revelation 7, beginning in verse 9. It says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Notice what it says. It says every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. Heaven is going to be a symphony of people. You know, we all know, and it still is, that Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in America, where you see different ethnicities going to their own quote-unquote churches. Those that are Caucasian are going the same direction. Those that are African are going the same direction. Those that are from the Caribbean are going the same direction. You know, it's not meant to be like that. Heaven is not going to be like that. When we get to the other side, there's not going to be a Jewish quarter. There's not going to be an African quarter. There's not going to be a white section. It's not going to be like that. Okay? That's why everything we're experiencing now is practicing for what's on the other side. Remember, we're all created in God's image. Yeah, we may be different color skin, but on the inside, we all bleed red. We're all created in God's image. Jesus was not an American. I got news for you. He was not African either. He was a Jew from Palestine. You know, it broke my heart many years ago when we lived in Atlanta, where that congregation basically broke down along racial lines. It should not happen. And so we have a lot to learn. We really do. Because there's going to be different nations and all kinds of people there. So we need to learn a variety of worship methods where we need to accommodate one another. And I forget, many, many years ago, and I told this to the leaders on two Sundays ago, where, you know, we planted a Nairobi church and we'll do four-part singing like we do in America. And one day I said to myself, I said, man, we're in Africa, man. When we're worshiping God, we're dancing, there's drums that are going on. It's like, we need to add drum into our singing. And nobody on staff agreed with me. So we had staff meeting that day. I called up a brother. I said, bro, take me to the market. And I went to the market. I bought two drums. I think you call them here congas. There are two of them. And put them in my trunk of my car. Brought them to church that Sunday. We're meeting out in a tent at a stadium at the time. And I remember I set them up. I set it up front. And I put a mic in front of it. We did our regular, you know, medleys and four-part harmony, all that kind of stuff. And then I got up in front of that, in front of the drums, and I started beating it and singing. Man, the church went berserk. They went nuts. And so we get to staff meeting the following Tuesday. And so I'm asking everybody, I said, so guys, what did you think of last Sunday? Angel has seen their face. I said, yeah, Richard, you were right. I said, come on, man, we're Africans. This is the way we do it. And Christianity fits into every culture, okay? Where we have a spirit of embracing all kinds of styles, okay? The church is not ours. You can say, well, okay, here's what I'm comfortable with. But we need to embrace other methods because we're not all the same. Again, heaven will be a symphony of people, all right? We are created in God's image. And so let's continue to grow in this area. Heaven is not going to be segregated. And God commands us to put up with one another. Very, very important. I saw this the other day, and I thought I'm going to show this to you. You know, it says, here's Mrs. Jones. It says, Mrs. Jones got a little too used to watching online worship from home. So she shows up, meeting at church. You know, she's in her slippers. She's got her coffee going. Brothers and sisters, we're not going to be able to do this at Hanson Place, okay? I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we need to start getting ready now. You don't wait until, okay, we're going to meet together this Sunday, and now all of a sudden, all this stuff falls into place. It doesn't work like that. We need to start getting our minds into this right now. Although, again, I don't have a date for us when we're all going to come back together. And so here are my final thoughts, okay? I want you to start preparing for Sunday worship on Saturday. You say, why are you telling us that? That's what I do, brothers and sisters. My worship of God starts on Saturday. I start preparing my mind, okay? I lay out what I'm going to wear. If I need to iron the stuff, I do it. I do all that stuff Saturday, and I get myself ready. Now that we're empty nesters, you know, it's awesome. If you have kids, you need to get them ready. It's not Sunday morning that, okay, what are they going to put on? Lay all that stuff out, okay? Get to church early. Notice, not on time. Get to church early. Don't be late, all right? I believe service starts at 10:30 when we're going to come back together. I believe it's 10:30 or maybe it's 11. I don't know. It's okay. I'm sure you guys will tell me when that time comes. But let's get there early. Don't be late. I always try and leave home way before time, just in case I get a flat tire or something happens. Sometimes there's traffic. Sometimes there's a bad accident. You never know. And so give yourself time. Talk to your kids about, hey, when we get to church, I want you to say hello to people. You got to teach them that. Smile. Say hello. All right? Now, obviously, bring your Bible and bring your notebook. Let's get out of this habit of, okay, yeah, I'm just going to lie down in bed and nobody can see me anyhow. I got my camera off, and so I'm just going to sit here and listen. You need to start getting into it now. You need to start getting back into the habit of, you know what, even when you're having your own personal time with the Lord at home, your Bible is open and your notebook is open. Again, remember, those of you that have kids, your kids are watching you. Don't be surprised if years from now they don't want anything to do with God. Say, what did I do wrong? They're watching you. They're imitating you. And they will. When we come, sing. Again, worship is not a spectator sport. reach out to the visitors before and after church. When I walk into our church building, you know, obviously I'm saying hello to everybody, but the first thing I'm looking for is people that are there, especially for the first time. And I go up to them. And I practice what I call SSI, you know. There's a show, I guess they're winding down now. There used to be a bunch of shows on TV called CSI something, CSI Miami, CSI, you know, Vegas or whatever. I call my SSI. It stands for smile, say hello, and introduce yourself. So when I walk into church, here's my mindset. I'm going to smile. I'm going to say hello to Christians and non-Christians and to visitors. And I'm going to introduce myself. You need to be warm and friendly. Because, you know, if people come into our church and we're not warm and friendly, guess what? They're not going to come back. I won't. I still remember my first time I walked into Crossroads Church of Christ in Gainesville, Florida. People were extremely friendly. People were hugging each other. They wanted to hug me. I wouldn't let anybody hug me. It's like, I don't know you like that. But obviously later on, I started to hug people. But I didn't grow up that way. Okay? It's very, brothers and sisters, it's going to be very important. Stay home if you are not feeling well. Please. Stay home if you're not feeling well. We used to do that even before COVID came. If you're not feeling well, stay home. Oh, I want to come to you. You know, when we do all come back together, I believe we're going to be having live streaming also, so you're not going to miss anything. But if you're not feeling well, stay home. Whatever it is that you're going through, you know, call somebody. You know, we'll bring you something to eat. We'll bring you some lunch. We'll bring you dinner. But stay home because you don't want to come and, you know, infect others with whatever it is that you have going on. Think about being your brother's keeper. And again, I want to encourage us to plan our fellowship before and after church. You know, when I come to church, I have in my mind people I want to see and people I want to encourage. Even as the service is going on, I'm not just there worshiping God. I'm looking around and I'm noticing, he's not singing. She looks unhappy. We're done with church. I make a beeline. Hey, how you doing? Are you okay? I noticed, you know, you are not singing or you look sad. Is there something going on? When we're out looking out for each other, that's what it's all about. But a lot of times I plan my fellowship in terms of, you know what, I want to talk to so-and-so, I want to encourage so-and-so, I want to encourage so-and-so. And I go after it. Very, very important. I'm really looking forward to seeing all of us back together. When the elders give us the go-ahead that we can all come back together. We're talking to the people at Hanson Place. They know we want to come back. They know we are coming back. We just don't have a date yet for them. And I know as people are getting vaccinated and we're able to see each other more face-to-face, Sarah invited three sisters over for breakfast the other day. She invited another sister over a few weeks ago. And, you know, we're getting out more. I'm coming to your house and, you know, I'm just going to press the buzzer. And they're going to say, who's that? Who reaches downstairs? Please let me in. I am vaccinated. I will be wearing my mask. But it's exciting to me that the numbers are going down and so we're able to interact with each other face to face a whole lot more. And so, brothers and sisters, I hope this lesson has helped. Please don't be feeling guilty. I just want us to grow in this area when it comes to worshiping our God, because he deserves all the praise that we can give to him. I hope this has been helpful. Tim Austin, please unmute yourself and close us out with a word of prayer, and then